Welcome to Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
Hey, man, doing pretty good so far. Still trying to get over this cold, man.
Yeah, man, you've been a little bit under the weather this week, man. Really excited
about really
this
annoying
show,
about
man.
That.
I know, man. I'm real excited about that show. This show, a lot of organization, man. Hey, Bub, kind of confusing for me, man. I went out and bought this new Samsung 9 Note. You know, we upgraded all of our cell phone accounts, and now I have a pencil and paper with me at all the time so I can write notes and write the book and all that great stuff. But, Bub, there's only one problem.
What?
How do I write notes if I'm watching the show so I can respond to people?
You just go old school, bro. That's what that pad in front of you is for, with the pen.
Yeah. So much for new technology. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, ladies and gentlemen around the world. Thank you for joining us here today on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, man. Great stuff with Capristo, Bub. I see you just did a huge sale with Capristo for Labor Day, man. How'd you break the mold? Because there's not much room for margin on those exhausts.
So, yeah, man, it's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, sometimes even the best prices, you know, you want to slash them, man, to let people go out there and hit that. You know, a lot of people out there, they're always on the fence on, you know, you're looking at that big figure stuff. You're looking at that high-end quality, that crazy price tag stuff, and, you know, you've got that goal, you set it aside and you're putting that money aside and you're ready to get it done, man. But then, you know, you're always on the fence. You're always wondering in your mind, like, am I ready to do it? Should I not do it yet? You know, should I wait a little bit longer? Do I have any bills coming in? Should I take care of this thing now?
Yeah, right on.
Well, guess what? This weekend, Labor Day weekend, is the weekend to do it, because for the next 2 weeks, we are going to be doing insane cut prices on all of the Capristo line, everything from the exhaust systems to the carbon pieces, everything you can imagine, literally up to 25-30% off some items,
and Bub,
which is insane. So if you're looking at a system that was originally 16 grand, you're down to 12 grand now, which is huge savings, 4 grand right off the top.
And that's crazy, because yesterday when you asked me to go to corporate with that, they wanted to kick and scream about it. I'm like, no, we're just going to do it, man. You just got to make the move.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to do. Miss Outlaw Boutique, ladies and gentlemen, MS Outlaw Boutique, for the finest in fashion apparel and accessories, boutique kind of style, man. It is Miss Outlaw Boutique. Robin and Layla are killing it, Bub. I shared with everybody last weekend. I walk into the lower level of your mansion and it's all Miss Outlaw Boutique inventory sitting in there.
If you want to call that a mansion.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
We've got like five sprawling acres and all that stuff. Dogs, cats, horses, goats, chickens running around over there.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about, dude.
Diesel,
not me.
Piston, Jack, Pearl.
Right.
They're all in the mix, man.
Yeah.
You walk in and they're on the counter. Diesel and Piston are on the counter, not Jack and Pearl the cats.
I know.
How about that, man?
Yeah.
How does he get those little legs up there like that? Good morning, Chris Burke. How you doing, Chris, out there? We appreciate you joining us here on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports show. Bub, right? We're going to have a really good show. This is a very exciting show. Wanted to jump in. I talked to Gary Goodell this morning, Bub, who we know is the head of the Miss Geico offshore powerboat team. Really, really good guy. He spent some time with us there yesterday. Super, super good guy, man. Gary and that whole crew with the Miss Geico team. I mean, we're talking about things like that. Not only are they the world champion. Thanks, Bub. Not only are they the world champion powerboat holders, but you know, they're involved in all kinds of water motorsports, man. And I want to remind everybody, September 28th through September 30th, Gary wanted us to let everybody know they're at the Clearwater Superboat Show, Bub, over in the Tampa St. Pete area in Clearwater at the Superboat Show. And you have seen the Miss Geico boat personally at Supercar Week, and that thing is just stunning how big it is, man.
Yeah, pretty good, man.
And the Miss Geico bike is going to be there from Orange County Choppers is going to be there with the Miss Geico boat as well.
That's right.
Be on display, man.
Yep.
So, guys, if you haven't checked out Miss Geico, check it out. Go just check out Miss Geico on Facebook. Look up Gary Goodell.
Curious to see how much we got paid for that plug right there, by the way.
a lot, man. They took care of us on that one.
I don't think so at all.
So they're going to be out there on September 28th through the 30th at the Clearwater Super Bowl Boat Show, and you've got to check that out. I know the Nationals are coming up, Bub. I'm going to see those as well. I want to be there as well. Good morning to Mark Hoffman out there as well. He'll be calling in for the first time in like 6 months, Bub, with the race report today.
Okay.
How about that?
Yep.
He's been MIA, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, right on, man. Bub, we've had a lot of people ask us, how do we do things on a budget build? Now, that's going to be kind of the head of this show this week. Here's the question, though. Can things be done on a budget build? What happens if you do a budget build? And we're going to tie this all in with eBay purchases, pro touring stuff, kind of a whole thing, and we're going to wrap this up because a lot of people think that cars can be built on the cheap. So you can buy used parts or you can do this. And, of course, that's probably some of the answers for some of the budget builds that you're going to give back to it. But first of all, Bob, in your mind as the master, what is a budget build?
So it's going into it's going into a project and not having one stack of cash ready to go. You're going into it, knowing that you've probably only got maybe over a year's period, you're going to have 5 or 10 grand or 15 or 20 or whatever that number may be. You'll have a certain amount of money that you're going to put towards it. Maybe you're selling another ride or another motorcycle or something like that. And, you sold a motorcycle for 15 grand. Maybe that's your budget and your cap right there. So you're not really touching any of your actual income. Maybe you've just got a ride or a project that you've sold and you've put together this little chunk of change. And that's working off that budget.
Hey, Bub, good morning to Jeff Graham. Of course, you're building his 67, 68 come out?
Yeah.
67 or 68? Yeah. 60, I don't remember which year it is. But anyways, you got a couple going out there. Man, you just finished the paint and body work on that car. Man, is it stunning, Bub.
Yeah, looking really good.
Looks like a piece of plastic is what it looks like, doesn't it?
Well, wetter than plastic, but
goodness. Good morning, Mark. Jeff, how are you? Good morning to my beautiful bride, Miss Robin Nobach, one of the Outlaw Girls and founders, man. So good morning, sweetie. How are you? Hurricane season is upon us. How about that? So budget builds, Mark Hoffman says, even a rat rod will cost lots of dollars depending on what valve train, drivetrain you have. And I think you're going to address that. So it's all basically budget driven, Bub. So we have people who find parts on eBay and say, well, I found this on eBay or I found that on eBay. What is eBay? What does it bring to the table?
So there's pros and cons to it, right? If you're building a car and you're trying to find, you're trying to find a specific product or a part, naturally, I don't go and source eBay. The only time that I would use a situation like that, whether it's eBay or Hemmings or things like that, where there may be more of like an auction-based house, is if you're doing like a true flat-out numbers-matching restoration and there is one specific part with a specific part number that you need in order to complete your project in 100% fashion. If I'm looking at doing like a, brand new Camaro or something, I'm not going to go on eBay and try to find a set of wheels and tires. Like there's just no chance, not even going to be something that I put across my plate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and that's one of the topics I want to bring into play, Bob, is the wheel and tires, but I'm going to circle back. I've got some notes here I want to work off because this is such a very deep, deep, conversation. It's a very deep topic and we won't be able to get into it all in an hour. I'm gonna try to get us off the air on time today because I know you're not feeling well. Some of the things you want to consider, Bub, in a budget build, electronic fuel injection or EFI as we call it in the industry, versus carburetor. Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
So that's of course that's going to be the two of them based off a budget. Right now it's actually starting to get to a pretty level playing field in terms of four-barrel EFI design systems where it's literally a direct replacement for a carburetor to where you can literally run your stock manifold. Maybe you have a factory four-barrel. The four-barrel is all gummed up and it's disgusting from sitting. You can literally go and buy by the time you literally were to factor everything else in terms of carburetor, fuel pump, fuel filter in the tank. Is it playing somewhere? It's on your phone. Turn that down.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
I can
be.
Hear it. There you
not
go.
Mine's.
So in terms of, you break these things down, you can literally get a nice EFI system today, not a multi-port EFI where it's individual fuel injectors, things like that with a pump and a tank. You can get a basic entry-level EFI kit for starting at $800 to $1,000. So that's incredible when you compare it to the price of a carburetor at $400 or $500 for a brand new one, plus maybe a mechanical fuel pump on the side of the block. There's another $200. So you're at $700 there. Plus you think about, maybe your sending unit went bad in the tank. Maybe you've got some issues back there. You're looking at about the exact same price now from a carb versus a generic, basic, ready-to-go EFI install kit for a naturally aspirated, nothing special street runner.
Okay, so naturally aspirated. In other words, you're not going to put a power adder such as a supercharger or a turbocharger to that kind of platform, but it's a basic entry level that'll get you up.
It'll get you reliable.
Do you have to worry about things today, Bub, on these budget style builds like the EFI system that says 650 CFM or 750? Because that's always a consideration, man. You got to, if you have a cam, you got to do this CFM. If you do this, you got to do that. It's just.
Well, with anything, it doesn't matter if you're doing carburetor based, you know, air fuel delivery, or if you're doing a electronic fuel injection, you still have to package it. You've got to build within a certain set of parameters. So if your motor is 400 horse or less, maybe 300 horse or less, or if it's 450 horse or more, if it's naturally aspirating, meaning it just draws in its own air delivery system, or if it's forced induction, turbocharged, supercharged, there's going to be some sort of EFI or CARB that is designed for that application. And you've got to build into that. You can't just go and buy random parts again off eBay because you found a carburetor that was $765 you found on eBay for $329. Probably not going to be the best fit for your application.
Good morning to Joe Kramer up there in Fairfax, Virginia. Thank you, Joe, for joining us. This is a new person, Bub. Cyril Cyanoy. That's almost a French sounding name. Cyril, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, doing it Bubba style. I want to make sure, Cyril, I'm pronouncing your name properly. That's important to me. And also, please tell us where you're joining us from. Bub, the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, who will be giving us a race rider report here shortly, says, Bub Lloyd, how about going to a swap meet to locate parts? So thinking Carlisle or something like that.
So I actually think that that's a really good question because I didn't even think about that in my natural notes here. Swap meets are great for two things. One, guys that maybe have – listen, you know, once you spend money on something, maybe you've initially done a first design on your project. Maybe you're building a Camaro, for example. I'll just throw out some basic stuff here. Maybe a 69 Camaro. Maybe you thought at first you were going to go all original. So you went and bought all these parts for this thing. Maybe you bought manifolds, you bought the cooling system, you bought brackets, you bought Chevrolet scripted valve covers, you bought everything that's supposed to be there, the chrome air cleaner with like the factory, you know, 327, 355 horse, whatever crap, right? Maybe you bought all of those parts and you've got, you know, $2,000-$3,000 into them, maybe good money sitting there. Things like car swaps and meets, maybe you switched your design after you started building. You're like, you know what, maybe I'm just going to go EFI with a fully polished dress-up kit with, you know, air cleaner, valve covers, blah, blah, blah. So you've double spent that money because you had your original parts, your original plan. You've got your secondary parts that are now what you're doing. You go to things like swap meets, like Mark mentioned. You go and you get to a gathering where it's nothing more than a weekend-long event or a week-long event of guys that just take their stuff and they sell it. And that's what it is. Maybe you trade, maybe you sell it. So you could literally take these brand new parts that are out of, I mean, literally fresh out of the box, take them, sell them. Maybe you get 60% of your money back, but it's still a good way to move money around. And that's a great way to get things that you can trust. You're physically putting your hands on it. You're looking at it. It's not some random crap from some schmuck across the world on eBay that's selling you something he says is one thing. Before you know, you get it. You open the box up. The thing is not a brand new part. It's just something that somebody spray painted and it looks brand new.
Okay, Bob. So as one of the top three in the industry today, you would say possibly avoid using the eBay. Your design, fabrication, and build skills are impeccable. They're second to none. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the client that came in yesterday and looked at this stunning Pro Touring Camaro you're building for him.
Yeah.
And as I pointed out to him, even though you won't see these suspension components, every nut and bolt is indexed going the exact same direction.
Yeah.
Okay. It's that attention to detail. We don't find that coming out of the eBay setups. You had one of your clients purchase an AC compressor, and what happened here?
Same thing, man. It was, you know, purchased a part, thought he got it for a good deal. It was 250 something bucks. Off eBay, he bought it, had it sent in, waited a week for it to get here. So he's down that whole week's time.
With no air
conditioning. Let's just do the layout, right? So he buys this thing on eBay because he goes into local parts stores, you know, whether it's Advance or Pep Boys or Napa, it doesn't matter who it is. You go in and you figure you're going to pay around 400 or so for a brand new compressor, not a remand one. You want to get a brand new one. So he didn't want to spend that kind of cash, right? So let me show you where being cheap always catches you. So I think we just lost connection here. So we'll see what's up. Hold, please.
We're still live with the show, though. While you're saying videos, and yeah, it'll pick back up again, Bob. That's no problem.
Give me a second here.
Yep. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. The video section of it died. That's part of the technical difficulty.
I don't know why it would do that. Just drops right out.
Well, you know what, Bob? We've been dealing a lot with the storms over the last 24 hours. And while you're bringing that back up, Bob, one of the things I want to ask you about, and just hang tight with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with you there. One of the things we want to there we go. You're got it back, Bob. Thank you. Joe Kramer out there, Bob.
Man, that's strange. I don't know why I just did that.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Sorry about that, guys. We just completely lost feed with Facebook, so we're back on.
Joe Kramer out there. Cyril, I'm going to tell you where he's from. You know what? I lost that where he was, man. He was telling me, let's see. Cyril, do me a favor. Shoot that back into me where you're from. You're out in Louisiana, Chick-fil-A, Louisiana. Is that correct? Is that what I saw and I recall? Joe, and send me your question as well, Joe, please, back in about coil packs versus non-coil packs. I wanted to ask Bob that question. The questions were coming in fast and heavy, Bob.
All right, so let me go back to this compressor situation, right? So if you guys were just listening a second ago before we dropped out, we apologize for that. We were talking about a situation where a client wanted to – his AC failed in his vehicle, right? So AC goes down. It's hot as crap down here in South Florida right now, probably the hottest time.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, everything on the AC system's working literally overtime to try to keep your rides cool.
Yeah,
this one on a huge SUV. So he goes and he gets on eBay. He starts looking around. You start finding these parts and you compare the prices of, well, I found that on eBay or Amazon or something like that. I found it for a quarter of the cost or half the cost of what I could get it locally. So I'm going to go ahead and do it that way. Okay, fine. That's fine. Go ahead and do it that way. You've saved the money. Locally it was about $400. Online was like $225, $250 with shipping. So gets the order in, waits for it. It typically takes about a week on, sites like that. So, it comes in and we lost the connection again. I don't know what's going on over here, man. Hold on. Give us a second.
I don't know what's going on either. And I'm not able to go back in and pull up people's questions as we're going through this. It's really, really aggravating. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on with us while we bring you back in from the video side. The audio side is still very strong. We're not
eventually, sure. I'm going to get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
If eventually. I don't forget it.
No. You're not going to forget it. I'm sure you're not subject to forget it, Bob. You've got too much going on up there to forget that. I'm sorry, though, that we went down. Bob, real quick, though, we are going to have a question from Joe about whether do you like coil packs or non-coil pack related ignition systems. There's a question going to come in from there. I think that's a good question. And if so, coil packs are not something you want to cheap either. Not something you want to buy off eBay or anything like that. For example, you've got a 2016 Chevrolet Corvette Stingray in here right now. And the problem with it was that car was – there was 12,000 miles on it. The car was hit. It was hit at every corner, Bob. It was put together in somebody's backyard garage and wasn't done well. So the Carfax didn't report it. Wound up on a dealer's lot. A client bought it and got screwed bad. You've gone back to all GM factory OEM related or original equipment of the manufacturer related parts because you're not going to allow that vehicle to go out with anything less than what it should have on it. And that speaks to you as a builder, not buying things off of eBay and not kind of doing things on the cheap. But that's not to say that you can't have a budget build that costs a little bit less. One thing you're not a fan of is swapping parts, like, for example, Holley this and Edelbrock that. And you like to keep things very consistent as a builder so that inevitably from a budget standpoint, it comes out cheaper that way.
Yeah.
So how'd you do over there? Were you able to get us back up?
Yeah, but I can't edit the title, so give me a second. I'm going to be doing that while we're still talking here.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't worry.
I actually think it's on Facebook's end right now because I can't even open Facebook.
Oh, you can't?
Uh-uh.
Well, then it may be. So we'll just continue on with our thing, man. It's nothing we've done wrong or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not working at all.
It just comes in.
What a dick.
I've got Facebook coming over here, Bob.
Not me. Look, I'm sitting right here.
All right. Well, maybe it's over on Facebook's end then, man.
Must be.
Could be. So we apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for that technical difficulty. So in other words, Bob, let's talk about coil pack related ignition versus non-coil pack related.
I want to finish this air compressor issue.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I feel like I'm done with it.
Okay.
I'm tired of talking about it.
So,
3 times I've tried. I've gotten shut down.
Can't take it personally.
All right, here's the deal, dude. Listen, so Guy buys this part, waits over a week to get it in. $250 was spent versus the $400 of just going and buying it new. Okay, so I'm done with it today. Here, the show's over.
So it just
look at this.
Yeah, screwed it up.
I'm out, dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what did it do over there, Bob?
I don't know.
It's just
not working, dude. It just keeps saying it's not working. This is stupid.
It's still live on the audio.
You guys are gonna see a live iPad smashing here in about 30 seconds.
As soon as it comes back up, it's going out the window.
Watch.
How about that?
It's coming.
How about
it's coming. I'm telling you.
I wouldn't doubt it. Oh, here we go. Let's see if I can catch the question.
I don't know what we got.
How about going to a swap meet?
I think the end result of my story was the guy got screwed.
Did he really?
Yeah. That's where I was going.
Yeah. Well. Oh, you were talking. We were actually talking about the client. Jeff's expedition and the AC compressor and what happened there with the whole story.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It just got screwed.
It did get screwed. Well,
yeah.
Inevitably wound up. It took him a week out of the game, Bub.
Yep.
There was no Freon for the vehicle. They sent him a used compressor that did not have any oil in it, as you found out, because compressors that are remanned or brand new come with oil in them and a plug inside of them so that the oil doesn't leak out. This one had none. The guy had whoever sold it to him spray painted this thing so that it looked really nice. But
it looked great in pictures.
It looked real good in pictures, didn't it, man?
Yep.
And you went through all of the hard work of installing it, right? Taking the time to get it put together, getting the cert belt off, getting the and those motors are not particularly easy to get the compressor on and off. It's from the bottom.
Yeah.
The angle has to be 110% correct. And then what happened was you put it together and it didn't work.
Yep. Well, that's what you get, man. It's so the moral of the story is that is why it's just another reason why, and I have many reasons why, I do not agree with the way you know, people are allowed to go out and sell things like that on eBay and Amazon. There's no quality control. There's no checking. You're just trusting somebody that's throwing it up there. You know, they do great photos. Today, it's very easy to put up photos and do editing on those photos so the product looks brand new. And it is nothing more than a pile of junk that somebody spray painted just to stiff you on $250.
And how about, and inevitably, Bub, you had to go out and tell the client, or I did, that we needed to buy a new compressor, which cost him. So in the end, it cost him three times
the amount because it was more time and it was more labor.
Very good. Very, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in about 7 years, it is the BEM Dirt Track Driver and Race Report, Race Ready Reporter, Mr. Mark Hoffman from beautiful Northeast area up there in Maryland. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. And yes, I do admit it's been a handful of weeks and years and months. But
good morning, Mark. How you doing, my friend?
And I apologize for a week ago when my tablet didn't want to work right. So,
hey,
but I tried.
Look at the difficulties we're having right now.
Up
in New York. It's fine there and everything, Mark. But it looks like Facebook's the one that's having.
Facebook's female. You know what happens every month. So
exactly. So what's
been
going on?
And that's as far
on?
As I'm
going
to go with that subject. But anyways,
how you been doing, man? I know you've been busy out there on the streets and everything. What's been going
on? Man, I am up to my elbows in
you're back up.
Race car repair this week.
Right. Oh well, really?
I sent you some pictures the other week about how our past week went. Well, the end result was we have a totaled car that is beyond repair, so we're in the process of building a whole new car for that team.
How did what happened with the car, Mark? For those that didn't see it, the front end was stove in pretty bad.
Our driver Jeff Block, aka Speedy Cop, which is a famous guy that likes to do the 24 Hours of Lemons event.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Had a good third place going with. There was a caution flag with one lap to go. It was going to be green checkered. Green flag drops. Turn one fine. Turn two fine. Coming into three and four. I'll be nice and say number 14, a.k.a. the squirrel, was all over the place. And zigged when he should have zagged, and we had no place to go.
But the wall.
We actually hit another car. Ooh. And then the wall. So.
Oh, man.
It got kiboshed.
So, but you know, Mark, in this world of racing in which you live, we understand that those are inherent dangers, and the metal can be fixed, you know, but people can't. How is everybody?
Well, the only other problem to this is we got one more points race with this car.
Okay.
So the only good side to it is we got a solid month into the final points race for strictly stocks.
Okay.
So we got 4 weeks to build this car.
Okay, so you
guys
are going to get
only,
back on.
Yeah, well, we were planning on building a new car anyways for next year, but now it's just going to be done earlier. So.
Okay.
Other than that, this is the famous Darlington Southern 500 weekend for NASCAR. So in between your football games, if you get a chance, this is when they call it the throwback, when current drivers honor past drivers in paint schemes or whatever. Example, Austin Dillon, who drives for Richard Childress, broke out a Dale Sr. paint scheme.
Oh, very cool, man.
For tomorrow, that he ran in the 1995 All-Star weekend in Charlotte.
Well, we all know who Dale Sr.
There are a lot of... this is like the fourth or the fifth year that they've had a throwback, and it grows every year, and it's a lot of people thought that Chase Elliott would have done one of his dad's old schemes, but I don't think it happened. But everyone thought since he switched from number 24 back to the number 9 that he would have done like a Cords paint schemer or something.
Sure, yeah.
But it's going to be fun to watch. It's also the NHRA U.S. Nationals in Indy.
Oh, wow.
this is the final race before their playoffs start, which is called the countdown. There is a horsepower challenge in funding car and pro stock, which I'm hoping that Erica Enders can dominate in the horsepower challenge. She's one of my favorite drivers in NHRA. And I've been watching her ever since her junior dragster days. So let's see what else is going on. Hagerstown is pretty much done for us, except for their annual small car nationals, which happens in 2 weeks. And that would be it until March. Potomac Speedway in Buds Creek has their annual small car nationals in October. So that would be the 13th to 14th of October. There's a couple of demos in between. And you're going to hear it here first, October 27th in Arcadia, Maryland, for the junk car race, we will have a BEM junk car race car set up that I will personally drive, and it will have the BEM logo on the car.
Oh, right on, man. Right on. Very, very good.
So,
Mark, I'm glad you're back with us there, man. I really am, man.
If you guys have a chance, I would love for you guys to come up and watch this thing.
You never can tell when we're going to show up, because when the road calls, Mark, we're on.
Well, close to that week, which I am going to contact you next week about it, is
okay.
I will be at the SEMA show if we can hook everything up.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll only be able to do 2 out of the 4 days, but I am determined to at least do them 2 days with you guys.
Okay, right on, man.
So, and then the unveiling in November as well for whatever project you guys got going on for that month, I'm trying to do too.
Right on.
And
well,
I will
thank you,
have
Mark,
my,
very much.
I will have my Sharpie for autographs.
Right on. There we go. So you'll be able to come out and meet the BEM dirt track driver,
yep.
Mr. Mark Hoffman himself. Mark, thank you so very much. We really appreciate it. We love you, man. And we'll be talking
and,
to you very soon.
And everyone have a safe holiday weekend and happy week one of college football.
Right on. Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Hoffman. Okay, so, Bub, Joe Kramer was asking, what he was asking is, let me see, I'm going to go back here and try to pull this back out again. Fourth time is a charm. What is involved with switching from a distributed ignition system to a coil pack system? First of all, what is a distributor system and what is a coil pack system, Bub?
So going from a distributor, which is about a it's about as mechanical of an electronic ignition as you can get, or it's as mechanical of an ignition source as you can get. It's, depending on your operations, your setup, whether it's a 4-cylinder, 2-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder, you have just a gear to gear, you know, shaft assembly that at one end of it connects to the camshaft of the motor. The opposite end of it connects to, it's really, you know, the opposite end is the final end, which is, as your camshaft spins, the opposite end is spinning as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is creating contact points over individual passing points of, you know, whether you're running a 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder. And it's these contact points are what create a spark, which is, you know, multiple other pieces in line. But that's it's being connected into the camshaft is how it knows what signal to send.
Interesting, Bob. Very, very interesting.
We just need to cancel this. It's not working at all.
The Meatloaf's just not working, is it, Bob? And I don't understand why it's doing that. So Joe wants to know, so what is involved? That's okay. The iTunes run, feed and everything is still running. What is it? I know it's aggravating, Bob. I'm sorry. I don't know why I don't know why it's doing this. And what's more is it shows up on a Facebook page time and time and time and time and time again. Instead
I'm just
of
going to delete all
show,
of them.
You know? So he's saying, what is it involved with switching from a distributor ignition system to a coil pack system? Is that aggravating, and what is the advantage?
What's the question again?
What is involved with switching from a distributor ignition system to a coil pack system?
So it's going to be conversion kits, man. It's you know, when you buy these things, you have to buy kits that go from a distributor style to an electronic ignition, and then you're going to have to individually program each one of these setups. So in order to set base timing, in order to set your full advance, your mechanical advance, all of those things have to be, they have to be set now computer controlled versus mechanically controlled, which is what a distributor technically does by itself, where it's all mechanical operation, but it knows exactly what to do. And you can literally change, you know, a few settings in it, whether it's weights or advanced springs, you know, how much time you can get out of the thing from an advanced standpoint, whether it's, you know, 40 degrees, 30 degrees, 50 degrees. All, again, based on your motor setup and your application.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do drop out again because the Mevo platform, which is the only 4K broadcast platform for this type of – and we're the only ones using it, for this type of setup, and it's very aggravating. I can see Bub's getting frustrated. It is frustrating because you pour your heart and life into this, and I'm sorry that we're having these technical difficulties today. We worked very hard all week long to put these shows together for you. So perfection is a must for us. If we drop out again, go to the Bubba's Motorsports Facebook page, which is where you're watching this show live, and click on the link. You'll see there's a link at the bottom of the post that of this show. You can click on that link and listen to it. You can also go to iTunes. We are number one on iTunes, and just type in Doing It Bubba Style and pick it up that way as well. I'm sorry, Bub.
Shut off again.
Oh, fuck.
All right.
Whatever. So anyways, Bub, we're going to say that coil packs probably are the better way to go because it is direct connect. It's direct ignition, correct?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about power disc? How about power assist disc brake systems, Bub? What about those, man?
So anytime you're working with, you know, older rides, vintage rides, there's certain things that make those cars unreliable, right? A lot of the things that make them unreliable are, for example, ignition systems, which were, you know, the point style systems. You know, and we can drill this deep into, you know, many, many things. You know, you've got the point style ignition systems that always require maintenance. Things that require maintenance are things that will leave you broken down. So you have ignition systems from the point style. You have brake systems from the drum brakes that always require adjustments. You have solid lift, you know, valve train assemblies that always require maintenance and adjustment, you know, all the way down to, you know, just your basic things, the gauges, for Christ's sakes, the original style gauges that were mechanical operation were literally waiting to, there were lines that were waiting to fail,
mm-hmm.
And have oil shot all over the inside of your car, essentially. Yeah. So,
and it did happen that way, man.
It happened that way all the time. So, you know, there are these, you know, huge pros to upgrading to modern components and having a ride that's enjoyable in the end, while still remaining or retaining that factory style look, feel, and function.
Wow, man. So you're saying, Bub, that you want to start converting some of these more modern pieces into it. Now, if we're talking about a budget build, how do we do that? Because some of the more modern components can get kind of expensive, which may take it out of the budget build category.
So here's what's funny about that, right? So when you talk about building on a budget, no matter how you do it today, you can price it out. If you do it individually, you price it out, and in the end game, you're going to be sitting about the same ballpark. So
interesting.
When I mentioned, you know, for the start of the show, I mentioned about EFIs versus carbs, you're going to end up being within a couple $100 by the time you're all done. You know, you get into power disc brake conversions. The kits are getting so affordable nowadays that in order to, you know, to do most power disc brake conversions, you're looking at spending anywhere between $500 and $1,500 for a really good entry-level kit that's going to give you a nice booster, a nice master cylinder that's going to be pre-plumbed. It's going to be ready to go for a front disc, rear drum. Even if you went as far as going to a four-wheel disc system, but a front disc, rear drum is a very easy setup and works perfect on street cars. So you compare that versus, you know, going out and finding the original drums, finding the inner wheel bearings, the outer wheel bearings, the seals, the springs, the hardware kit, the wheel cylinders, the brake hoses. You start going and you sourcing all these parts, and before you know it, you've tacked up that exact same amount of money in doing a factory fit drum system that's still going to give you no benefit or upgrade. It's just going to be new products. You're still going to have to maintain them. You're still going to have to adjust them, continue up with the alignments on it to make sure it doesn't pull. So you're not getting any benefit out of it. For roughly, you're going to be in the same ballpark, whether it's, you know, a couple $100 here and there. It's always better to just pull the trigger, do the upgrade, because in the end, it's going to give you what's better. And financially, it's going to be close to what you would have put into just buying the original crap.
So, Bub, let me ask you a question. And some people will say, oh, I just want power. I just want disc brakes on the front of my car. I'm not worried about it, whether it's power. I call BS if you're on a budget. I call BS.
Well, it's, you know, some people want to do the disc brakes, but then leave like a manual operating master cylinder. So the point of the disc brakes is for not only increased stopping power, but also that less maintenance that you have to do. You aren't going to have to maintain those things for another 30, 40,000 miles. And on some of these older cars, that kind of driving could be 50 years, you know, that it could be equivalent to 50 plus years. So, you know, it's you look at it from many different angles, but when you're upgrading to power or to a disc brake system, you're doing it for a benefit. You're doing it because you want something that you don't currently have. Well, if you have a drum brake system, you probably have a lot of pulling going on when you step on the brakes. The car's all over the road.
Yep.
It won't stay in the straight line. You know, wheels lock up, things like that. So you upgrade to a disc system, you're going to get that benefit that you'll never have to worry about that stuff again. You want to take it over the top and you want to make the car that much more comfortable and fun to drive. You might as well go ahead and add a power assist booster to it. And then it is that much easier. You barely have to touch the brake pedal, much like driving a modern vehicle.
How about, Bub, things – we used to have a thing called – I don't know. You can try that again, I guess.
I just did.
Oh. How about things, Bub? Is the charger not plugged in and the battery dead? Is the charger not all the way plugged in?
No, it's plugged in. It just keeps losing network. It says check with system administrator now. It's gonna check with a snap-on hammer.
It's gonna check on.
I'm telling you.
I'm laughing. When it gets ugly, ladies and gentlemen, it certainly gets ugly. So let's just cover what Bub's saying here. He's saying that it's cheaper from a budget standpoint to look at some of the new EFI setups simply because they are as affordable as a carbureted setup. And why wouldn't you want that reliability and that efficiency? The same is being said with exhaust systems, which we're going to get to. He's saying the same with power disc brake systems. Spend the extra $150 if you need to and buy the new the power booster with it. Get it. It's cheap. It's within the budget. And if you have to save a little bit, do it. We had a gentleman stop in with an 84 Alfa Romeo yesterday, and he wants us to reupholster the car because somebody dyed it from its original blue to a red.
Jesus.
And I told him.
You don't
that,
spray paint your interior, bro.
No, you don't.
It's never going to last. It's never going to be professional. It's just plain and simple.
Yeah. And the sad part was, as I showed it to you, you could see where all the – I just wasn't willing to cheap the job. I'm not going to do it, Bob. I'm not doing it. And I showed him where the fasteners, the snaps, for example, were pulling through the original top. The so foam to keep a little bit of the insulative quality there was ripping. I'm just not willing to do it. So if you have to do it, buy a piece, do a piece at a time and move on and come back when you've saved some money. But don't be upset at the person who's trying to build a car for you because they're not doing it for free. Materials cost money. Labor costs money. To run the lights and utilities costs money. And at the end of the day, nobody here is a millionaire, or nobody in these facilities out there building your cars are millionaires, because they are strictly out there building cars. It doesn't
right.
happen. That's not the way it goes. There's very little left over in terms of money and profit at the end of the day from this profession. There's just not a whole lot that's left over. So you seek outside revenue sources, the entertainment side like we do, or whatever it is you want to do, but you don't derive it specifically and strictly from just this side of the business. Would you agree, Bob?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's, I try to tell people, you know, very upfront about,
you do,
you know, future and goals. And when you build these rides, what to expect, because that's a lot of what really screws this industry up, man, is, you know, people's expectations of what they're going to get. And it all comes down to literally one thing. It comes down to money.
Money.
That's what it comes down to when you're dealing with these rides in this industry. If you want to be cheap, you're going to get a cheap job. And it's just that simple. If you want to go all the way, plan to spend for all the way. It's just that simple, man. It's if your budget's five, you're going to get five. If your budget's 100, you're going to get 100. Just that freaking simple.
And Bub, for example, we have a client that I was arguing with this week that I put a stop work order on his vehicle. He doesn't want to pay for the parts going into his car, and I'm not working for free on it, nor am I responsible for it. But he feels he is entitled to state that those parts will be paid for at the backside of the job. No, I'm not working out of my pocket for him or for anybody else.
Absolutely not. I'll stick them in a box and I'll send them back and charge a 20% restocking fee. It's just that simple.
Oh, not only did you tell him that, you said send a tow truck, and this guy lives 3 hours away. Send a tow truck and get this thing out of here.
Yeah.
We don't want it here anymore.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
That's no worries. And that's a good point, Bob. It doesn't need to be here. You know, if
you're balling on a budget, man, don't leave it on my lot. You know, I've got a lot of projects here and I don't need any more, you know, on my plate. So, you know, the projects that I am building are very, very high end clients, and I'm building some incredible rides. So I don't need any more nonsense thrown at me for people that aren't ready to go.
And that's just it. Because you want to, you know, not pay your bill so you can go on vacation really doesn't become my problem.
Right.
And it, what it really comes down to is, and I was reading an article to you this morning, that one of the things that they say, you know, you and I work very hard at our business. We work this business 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if there's not enough thanks from people at the end of the day to any longer kind of require that commitment. So as I read that article to you today, the successful business owner finds ways to get away from the business. And that's certainly one of the things we've tried to do. And that happens because people want to come in on a budget and then want to complain when you can't do what they want you to do, oftentimes working out of your own pocket.
Yeah, you know, it happens all the time. So it's, you know, it's just not even worth it. So if you know, the end here is, you know, if you guys are going to build on a budget, know what your budget is. And that's not being rude. It's not being insulting. You need to be honest with yourself about what your budget is and how far you're truly planning on going. You know, don't plan on having a Ken Diggett design ride that's worth $250,000 for $35,000. It's never going to happen.
It's not.
Just get it out of your mind.
It's not. It's not. And one of the things we've gotten very good at here is telling people, take it down the road. I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, yeah, you know, and those are the kinds of things you just got to be able to draw that line. And, you know, you can't take every job in just because it's money in your face. It's, you've got to just know
That's
when
it.
To pay or when to quit. It's just that simple.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's, we've been doing a lot of that lately here at BEM because there are a lot of people that have expectations that no matter what, you'll never meet them. And there's no reason to fight for that. I'd rather just outsource it, send it on down the road to somebody else, let somebody else deal with the headache of it, because I've got enough work sitting here. I've got a lot on my plate and a lot of unique trendsetters that are getting ready to roll out on the streets.
And the funny thing is, too, those are the same people, Bub, that will complain and say they didn't want to do the work or they didn't this. Or
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that, man.
Yeah.
Because it's better than listening to them say, well, the car came in and it took 2 years to finish.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, like you say, send it down the road to somebody who will work on a budget-related situation at $80 an hour and see what you get. Spark plug wires laying everywhere,
well,
a car
you know,
that won't idle.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, you've been watching as I've been building, you know, we had this Camaro come in, the 67 come in on a budget, you know, the first cap is it's a pretty decent budget, pretty substantial amount of money. And, you know, we're cranking on it, man. It's, you know, a car came in typically this kind of ride to do this pro touring style build would get you up in like the 70, 80 range, just, you know, throwing rough numbers out there. You know, for a comfortable street cruiser, that's going to give you all modern performance, all modern reliability in it, electronic ignition, the fuel system, the braking, all of that. You know, this client's had a lot of money that's already gone into the car and they've put a lot of personal time into it. And it just hit that mark where it's time to take the next step. Of course, BEM takes it on and we are going to, you know, turn this thing into a real, real head turner. And it's already happened. So in a matter of a week, you know, the car came in last Thursday. Friday, we had it written up and got it into disassembly in the mechanical facility. By Monday, we had parts going over in the paint shop and getting them ready to go so that it didn't hold up.
Subframe was out of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's where a lot of people don't understand, too, just project management, how you take a mechanical part off of a car, but then get it into the paint shop and back priority over into the mechanical shop.
Jeff,
the mechanical shop can keep building on the piece that needed to be painted before anything else can go on. And that's how you work hand in hand to get everybody flowing on the same page. And right now, we're cruising on all of these rides, these projects we've got going. So it's a lot of success, a lot of great things going on. You know, whether we're building on budgets or going all the way with some of these things, it's, you know, just some incredible stuff getting ready to roll out of here. And all of that will be seen on Instagram too. Stay tuned for that. I was actually thinking about doing it maybe later this afternoon, tomorrow, probably all through the weekend. You guys will be seeing some crazy posts going up.
Hey, good morning to Doris Doko, D-O-K-O. And I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I want to understand that. Doris, where are you joining us from, please? I'd like to know more about you. Andrew Butler over there, good morning from Extreme Dimensions team. On my way to the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana to run the Camaro on the Royal. Let's see. And it kind of stops out there for me, Bob. Joe Kramer says, I don't understand why people don't realize that what custom shops do is highly technical trade. That's so, so true, Joe. I'll jump in on that, man, and I'm a bidder on that. An educated consumer will interview multiple shops, read over the contract and addendums. It's, he says, it's the same thing with tattoos or hiring a contractor to remodel a house.
It's
ding,
pretty
ding,
simple.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
Ding. Okay, Joe, and the same thing I told this client with this 96 Tahoe out here, I said, hey, bro, check this out, man. Here's the bottom line. Here's the story. The guy wants to pay for parts, then do a chargeback on the parts because the vehicle is not done as fast as he would like it. So I immediately put a stop work order on it because in our liability clause, it clearly says you will not engage in legal proceedings against BEM and or any of its affiliates and engage in chargebacks, etc. So I put a stop work on it. Joe, is that the correct story, Bob?
Yeah.
I put a stop work order on it, and then he wants to call and say, well, you guys haven't been building my truck for the last 2 months.
Absolutely not. It's been sitting here.
That's exactly what I said.
I'll let it sit there as long as you want.
It can rust to the ground. And I told him, and by the way, we're going to start charging storage fees on it. You stop payment on parts that we purchased for your truck, and now you want me to continue working for you. Pack it up, bro. I ain't doing it, man. So trying to ball on a budget doesn't work. Mark Hoffman says, my take is any car projects at BEM that are not paid for can be a part for the how about that? Mark Hoffman saying, take any of these cars that aren't being paid for and stick them down at the reef for the sharks to swim
around. I was just going to say, turn them all into dirt track cars.
Oh, my goodness. I so, so, so love it. So, yes, and that's the thing. And today's people, Mark and Joe and everybody, there's such an entitlement mentality out there that they think they can go legal with you and sue you into the ground because they are balling on a budget. Well, guess what? That's what corporate legal lawyers do. They watch over them.
Well, you know, it's crazy too, man, because we get it more than you'd imagine with, you know, I honestly don't know what it is. Sometimes we have a lot of good clients that don't question anything. We have a lot of clients that come through the door and they want to, you know, right out of the gate, they're looking for some sort of deal or negotiation or haggle. If they, if they, you know, can, if they pay cash, will it be cheaper? If they, no, absolutely
not.
It's still the exact same price.
Same
I'm
quality.
Still paying for the same parts. I'm still delivering the same job. I don't care if you swipe it on your, call it what you want. It's still the exact same job in the end. And if you go to Best Buy, you buy a set of Dre Beats headphones. They're going to be $400. You're going in, you're spending $400. There's no other way around it.
That's
it's
it.
Just that simple.
But see, people who are balling on a budget, if they want to do it at home, that's one thing, Bub. But you cannot bring it into a major facility like ours and agree. Granted, we all know the truth. We're in the public's eye internationally. So we take an additional beating. So does Paul Sr. So does Gary Goodell. So does Ken Dick. So does everybody who does this. Billy Lynn, all of them. Okay. But the fact, and it's a choice we make. All right. It's part of, you have to have thick skin, but you cannot come in and try to beat a shop owner down. You can't.
No, it happens, man. Especially with how many people we know in the industry, just, you know, other friends that we know that own
talk
businesses, man.
That.
It's just, everybody runs across the same stories, the same storylines and the same beatings, man. It's just, everybody's always out to get what they can at the end of the day and not, they just don't appreciate true, you know, true craftsmanship, true art, you know, what goes into it. Now, granted, there's a lot of shops out there that really screw things up that give that image. And, you know, that's unfortunate. But, you know, it's, you know, one of our really good friends that comes in super, super, super solid client, man. I literally told him the other day he wanted to argue with me about paying, you know, more on labor. And I told him, no, absolutely not, man. I said, honestly, I'd rather.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I would rather give him the work for a discounted rate than to watch him go and get screwed by somebody else charging him some ridiculous amount of money. And that's exactly what happened. You know, it was, this ride went out and went to a couple different places, 2-3 places before it came here. Everybody that put their freaking hands on it screwed it up and
they
butchered
sure did,
every
man.
Last piece
sure
of it.
Did.
Man.
And you
at the end
it.
Result, you know, we get our hands on it. It's nothing more than a couple little things here and there.
And by the way, it was a 2011 model year. It was something that should never have been butchered the way it was.
Yeah, no, it should have been super easy. Just get it in, look at it, diagnose it, figure out the symptoms first. Obviously, that's like the number one thing a doctor would do. You figure out exactly what the problem is. You got to go right to the source, and then you just do it piece by piece from there. And you just you have to understand the situation before you can just jump at it. And most people don't do that in the industry. They just jump at the first thing they think they see, and they get into an absolute mess with no great outcome.
They do. Good morning to our good friend, Mr. Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, up there in Boston. Clark, how are you doing? Exhaust systems, Bub, performance /
I think
sound.
He's here right now, by the way.
Here?
Might be.
Is he?
I think so.
Clark, are you in town, man?
I feel like it was supposed to happen.
Clark, are you in town here in South Florida, or are you up in Boston? Exhaust systems, Bub, performance versus sound.
So that's another thing that, you know, that's another thing that a lot of people want to do. They always, everybody wants, probably that might be the first thing that most people do to their cars is exhaust systems, not even cars, but cars, trucks, heck, dirt bikes, four wheelers. It doesn't matter. That's probably one of the first things that anybody does. And it's pure sound. You know, when you buy these things, whether it's an all stock vehicle and it's brand new, emissions compliant, it's got to come with a certain decibel meter on it. And it can only be so loud. It can only be. So much performance flow from it. So you've got to look at that aftermarket industry. You want to spend good money to buy a good quality product. Why would you go and buy a $10,000 four-wheeler, buy an exhaust off eBay to stick on the sucker?
Because
it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. Clark says he will be in town tonight from B-Town.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought it was this weekend.
Absolutely, man. Well, I can't wait to see you, Clark. Let's make sure we get together when we get here. FYI, the state of Pennsylvania has had a lot of rain in August and found out Mannheim, the Mannheim auto auction in Pennsylvania is a total loss where their auction cars flooded.
Hey, salvage titles.
Salvage titles.
Every one
of them. We've talked about that, man. Flood cars.
Hey, every one of them. Mark, if you want some good stuff, man, where you got good profit, dude, go in hot. I'm telling you.
And then redo those cars and send them out.
Hey, just because you got to pull the carpet out and pull the seats out and just put new carpet in, maybe clean up some connectors. Bro, get it. You can get a $100,000 car for 10 grand like that.
You can, can't you?
I'm telling you, dude. Even if you go all the way, again, and doing it right, you go all the way. Say it's like a brand new Mercedes. Been flooded? Okay, sure. Let me replace a couple modules. I'll spend 10 grand on a car that I just spent 10 on, so I'll be 20 into it. I'll sell it for 85. You just made 65 grand on a salvage title car.
Smart idea.
Doing
man.
A weekend's worth of work.
Smart idea.
Probably one of the best flippers out there is doing water damage cars, especially if there was nothing wrong with them. If they were like mint condition before, bro, all over it.
Mark was saying there was a ton from Katrina, Storm Katrina back in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
There was, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's when guys in the auto industry, if you're not an absolute schmuck, you can actually take advantage of that, and you can make a lot of money doing it. You know, if you do it right, you go and you buy factory parts. You know, you pull out the products that are bad, that have gotten damaged from the water. You replace them. Typically, it's all just down to sensors, modules, and relays. You replace them. You put in new carpet so it doesn't have that disgusting odor. And that is it. I mean, literally, that's it. If it's in, typically water damaged cars are fairly minimal damage, but they have to literally do them as water damaged.
Joe says he's seen Corvettes get flipped real quick, man. Tell him about the one you're dealing with now.
No, it's. I mean, that's it, man. You get these cars that these cars can be worth, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 grand. And maybe some guy left the freaking sunroof open or the T-tops off or a target top if it's a vet. In a brand new Z06 or something, $80,000 car. It gets completely poured in down here in South Florida on one weekend because the guy just left the top out of it, calls insurance, and gets water damage. Car gets totaled. They do it as a salvage title. You get the car for 20. You put in another 10, 30 into a car that's worth 80. You just made 40, 50 grand on a weekend's worth of work, literally. So there are great times where you can really take advantage of that, and there's nothing wrong with it as long as you do it with the right products.
And you're honest about it.
Right. I mean, a lot of people try to slip that through there. And, well, I don't know what happened to the car. No, you just say it had water damage. Here's pictures of before. Here's pictures of after. Here's the receipt showing it's all factory components and rebuilt exactly how it should be, and it's done.
And, Joe, we're dealing with a 16 Stingray with 12,000 miles on it. It was hit pretty bad, man, pretty, pretty bad. When Bub got it up on the lift, he was going over it. He found out every piece of that car that was destroyed. It was done in some guy's backyard in Miami, put back together. So no Carfax was put on it and sold at a dealership down in that area. You got to watch that area anyways. That's a very shady area down in Miami.
Chop shops left and right, boy.
Yep, bad. Unlike you would ever believe, Joe.
There is VIN swapping going on there. Like, I don't know what, dude. I can't even tell you. I mean, and you see it a lot.
And the poor client, man, his son was just given a 6-year prison term. The dad's now taking care of the grandson. Now he's got this $55,000 Corvette that was really worth 10. You know, it's a whole thing. And the dad's overloading, man. And God bless him. I understand why, man.
Yeah.
So, Bub, let's talk about it. Budget builds, yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, you can do it, you know, budget builds, you can do it for sure. You can do a piece at a time, but if you do a budget build, you still want to do the project within the budget build, i.e. brake system, fuel system, ignition system, wheel and tire combo, any of that stuff you do, you still want to do it as a package. So you're not piecing it. You want to build a package of each individual component. So if you're doing a brake upgrade, go all the way and do the brake upgrade. Don't just do a piece of it. Save it up, go all the way so that you can literally do it, check it off your list one time. You're not going to go double on your labor. You're not going to double on your time doing the work, doing the upgrades. So go all the way with it. But yes, budget builds can be done. No problem at all.
Right on, Bub. And the Mevo dropped out again. Did you see that? Isn't that perfect, man?
Yeah, that's perfect.
What about that? Is it the Mevo or the Facebook side, you think, Bub?
I don't know. I took the SD card out of the Mevo. Sometimes it'll do that if it's full, but it's still doing it now, obviously.
That Bub SD card only has two or three episodes on it.
So then it's not full.
Yeah, the other one I've got in my office because I've been posting up. And if people haven't seen that, make sure you're visiting our YouTube page. We are putting up all of these shows on our Facebook page. Our YouTube page, right? And you can access that by going to our website, right, Bub?
Yeah.
So it's all out there. Bub, let's talk about the big pro tips, the BEM pro tip from the master himself, Bubba, and the upgraded order in which you would do these things to get them done from a budget standpoint.
So these are personal opinions, and this is with a lot of years of experience and a lot of cars in and out of not only the facility, but my personal collection. So personal and professional tips on your upgrade order. If you are balling on a budget, if you are doing a budget build, first things first, I would do the air fuel delivery and the ignition system. Why? That is the number one thing that's going to get that car going. And that also includes things like, you know, the charging system, making sure your alternator is up to par, your battery, electronics, making sure that car will get you going safely and reliably. That is number one. Number two, what is next when you've got a car that runs great? You got to make sure it stops great. So I would go into the braking system. If you've got drum brakes, look at doing that upgrade to power disc, maybe power four-wheel disc. That's going to get you stopping. So you're going, you're stopping. Now, what's next? Get you riding nice. Get into that suspension. Get into that wheel and tire combo. If you've got bias ply tires, that old original stuff, man, get that stuff over to the radials, man. You can even get it on white lines, red lines, gold lines,
you can.
Whatever it is you need to match your build style.
And the final, get into the electronics. Go for modernizing. There's nothing wrong with upgrading the wiring harnesses. You can get factory braiding that looks original. So if you wanted to go to a modern style fuse panel system, you can go and get it from Painless. You can get power braid, which looks like the original wrap, the cloth wrapping that would go on your original harnesses if you're building that style of ride. So get into the electronics. Upgrade your gauges. That's number one. Probably one of the keys there is getting accuracy, trusting your ride. You know, are your volts doing what your volts are saying they're doing? Is your fuel showing what you actually have?
Yep.
Is your temperature correct? Is your oil pressure correct? Is your speed accurate? So you're not out speeding or going too slow or too fast.
And today you're
so
doing
on,
it
so
by
on.
GPS, right, Bob? Very accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's all about going into the upgrades, and all of these pieces can be done to retain factory finish if you're doing a classic, maybe a resto model or even a pro touring.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Do not buy from eBay because you're not going to get what you anticipated most of the time. Buyer beware.
I'd say 70% of the time you're not going to get what you expected.
Was eBay a powerhouse at one time, Bob?
There was definitely a time where eBay crushed. I mean, they sat back and they made millions of dollars on fees and charges and postings and you know, commission fees. And I'll tell you what, man, that would have been if that was an industry that I could have gotten my hands into, being a middleman to sit back and make money and let people post and sell on your site, that's a no freaking brainer. But I'll tell you what, because of what the world has come to, there are so many hacks and scam and scum out there. None of it is the truth anymore. So it's a shame that that's the way it is, because for guys that do try to go out and post things honestly, they get shafted. And I've personally been a victim of that with rides that I've tried to post and sell on eBay. I've had, you know, multiple rides sell at north of six figures. So when you get charged a 5% commission fee on that from eBay, and I'm stuck holding the bag on that because some guy just came in, placed a bid at the last second and then disappeared and said, user no longer found, somebody gets stuck with that bag.
So how about, Bob, let me ask you this then. Has Amazon done a good job of keeping things in check, you think?
It's
Different platform.
Yeah, different platform. I feel like that's a totally different sales platform.
Yeah, I think it kind of is too. Yeah. Man. But they've done a.
You're working with a little bit more company based than you are individual based.
Yeah, and they've done a good job of keeping it clean out there, right?
Yeah.
So right on, Bob. That's going to do it for this episode of Doing It Bubba Style, so, ladies and gentlemen from around the world. Thank you for joining us, even through the technical difficulties today. We appreciate that. The show still did go out over the air through iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, and everything like that. Let's reach out, ladies and gentlemen, to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Let's open the door for somebody whose hands are full. Let's put shoes on the bottom of somebody's feet who has holes in them. And let's feed somebody who's standing down on the corner that has a sign that says, "We'll work for food." Your designer cup of coffee is less expensive than that protein bar and that power shake you could give to somebody and feed them and make them feel good for a few hours until their next meal. Monday, we're off, Bub. It is Labor Day, but we will return Friday. We do not have a show next Saturday, but we'll be back with everybody on Friday.
That's right.
We wish everybody a very wonderful, wonderful Labor Day weekend. And until next week, Bub.
Just keep on doing it Bubba style.
Keep on doing it Bubba style.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.